What was this thing you sent me on Steam?
Oh, it's a game with ninjas. It's like 80% off, and a 4-pack was even cheaper. It was $6 for 4 copies. So I gave it to you, Chris, and Kip. You're welcome.
I'm a bit suspicious of the game that you apparently got 4 of for $6.
It usually costs like $10 or something.
What happened that that's not usually the case anymore?
Yeah, it's like the midweek madness sale on Steam.
Madness, all right. Is the game good?
Supposedly, I don't know. You fly.
Suppose you didn't even play it?
Not yet.
What is it again?
You're ninjas on like these little planetoids, and you're slicing up each other.
I don't get it.
It's just an online deathmatch game.
It's a deathmatch game?
Yeah, there's capture the flag as well. There's different modes.
Why are they capturing flags in space? Exploding Barrel Podcast for August 27th, 2010. This is Mike Minotti.
Hi, Mike.
Actually, I don't know why I paused there.
It's like, go ahead, say hi.
I was waiting for me to say hi, I guess. Joined by my brother, Adguy. Hello.
Hello.
This is roughly our third year anniversary.
Yeah, technically that was on Tuesday, but we don't have a show on Tuesday, so... Woo!
Right.
We did it! It's 3 years!
These year anniversaries aren't as... fun to me as the number milestone.
Yeah, the 100 episode was still a favorite of mine.
Yeah, we have to
wait till we get to 200.
Yeah, you can't really celebrate 150 the same way. So we'll have to just keep going at it for another year.
Is this actually show number 150? I don't even know what number we're on.
It must be close. But anyways, so for our show today, we're going to talk about the news. I mean, is there any news?
Yeah.
Is it interesting?
I got news.
I couldn't find... cool news.
I got all kinds of cool news.
Ain't it cool though?
No, it's just cool.
Oh, lame. Sorry.
Your best friend is not here right now.
So after the news, though, we'll do the quiz. Then we're doing. Oh, actually, you know what? We're changing it. After quiz, we're gonna do our week of gaming.
What?
Yeah, because I want to talk about this game. The game I've been playing.
Okay.
Because it was actually Metroid Other M.
Oh, now you just come right out and say it.
Sure, well, what? It's not like I'm not going to tease people with it. I'm sure it'll be the name of the episode, probably.
That was your one chance. Your one chance to be like, I have a game that's not out yet, and I'm not allowed to talk about it till today. And
I'm not going to, like, you know, wave it in people's faces.
I would.
Like, I know you would. But no, I got to review Metroid Other M for Bitmob, so I've been playing that for a week. So I will talk about that in our week in gaming. Also, hopefully, by the time you're listening to this, my review should be up on Bitmob, so go check that out, please. And
okay.
Give Bitmob plenty of clicks. Click on some of their ads. Too fun. Why not? All right, so then after that, we'll do role-playing. You have all sorts of fun roles for me to play, right?
Yes.
All right, I'm excited to see how that'll go. And so I guess after that, then, we'll do the releases, and that'll be the show.
Okay.
All right. Let's hear the news then.
So did you see Warren Spector's explanation of why there's no longer a Scrapper Mickey in Epic Mickey?
No, what did he say exactly?
Well, everyone was saying at E3 that it was like because of focus testing. I don't know why it took him this long to come out and clear that up, but apparently he was like kind of misquoted or something.
I don't know, because I was at that breakfast thing with him where it was me and 5 other people, and I'm pretty sure he said focus testing.
Well, this is how his quote goes. He begins by saying, "Let me start by saying, I have never, and I will never, make a design change as a result of a focus test. It has not happened at any point in my 27 years, and it will not happen. I will quit if that happens. If you ever catch me doing that, that will be the last thing I ever do in the game's business, okay? So you are wrong, Mike."
Okay. Well, what did he say it was, then?
He goes on, "I'm assuming this is where this started. So we did a focus test because it had 1,000 different looks for the character. People just said, don't mess with Mickey. When you make a game, you make this creative box. You try to find out what fits in the box. You can do anything with Mickey Mouse or any character. So I said, let's test the extremes. And there were things that were too radical. Game fans, Mickey fans, they didn't want to go that far. Let's see, he goes on. All right, that's too radical. We're not going to go that far with Mickey. And I think I mentioned that at E3, and someone assumed that that happened this past Christmas. And so Warren Spector got rid of the Scrapper Mickey because a focus test came out, and that's not true. The idea of the Scrapper Mickey went away because I didn't like it. There was no focus test. There wasn't a focus test done last fall. No one ever told me that they were happening or gave me any data about it. So basically, he made, like, from what I, if I'm reading this right, they had, like, all, like, literally hundreds of crazy designs for Mickey with, like, weird colors and outfits and all this crazy stuff. And I think just, like, people within the company were like, just let's keep it as Mickey. Like, just Mickey.
I mean, what he basically said, though, was, we got rid of Scrapper Mickey because we decided, because people said not to mess with Mickey too much. That sounds an awful lot like focus testing.
I
can't quote him from when I, you know, did my thing with him exactly.
Let me continue why Scrapper Mickey is gone, as he explains. Yes, I did ditch the Scrapper idea, and I did it because I just didn't like it. The reason the Scrapper existed was the same reason we had Mickey in all sorts of different costumes that changed his abilities. I ended up not liking that idea, so we cut it. Scrapper existed because I wanted a way to show on screen how you interact with the world was changing the world and Mickey. That was the best I could come up with. But right around October, November, one of my game directors said, I have an idea, hear me out, and he had some concept art of the little painted guardians.
Right,
these little helpers.
That's what he said replaced them.
Yes. These little helpers that appear and are drawn to you based on your playstyle. Basically, he saw this as like, this is so much better. Okay, we don't need the Scrapper Mickey anymore. I didn't even like him in the first place, but I couldn't think of anything better. That's out, these are in.
I guess that's fair enough. I mean, I'm not like trying to call Warren Spector a liar or anything. But I mean,
perish the thought.
Right, I mean, I think the truth is lying somewhere in between here.
Right. Okay, now we move on to all kinds of things about Portal. First of all, we got not one, but two trailers for Portal 2 this week.
I saw the new Wheatley one.
Yeah, that's the one that actually has Steve Merchant doing the dialogue this time, and it's going to be awesome.
It's fantastic. This game just looks...
Yeah, it's going to be great. There's also a shorter, more of a teaser trailer, really, that shows off the game's co-op mode with the two little robot guys you play as. Did you see that one?
No, I didn't see that one.
It's very short. It's basically them solving a puzzle, but it's really cool. The design for those two characters is unreal. It's going to be so awesome.
Yeah, this game, I have pretty high expectations.
Yes.
That's like the only knock against it, that my expectations are so high. No, please deliver.
Yes. Also...
And make Half-Life 3, you sons.
Sons of bitches.
Sons of a bitch. They are multiple sons from one bitch.
Oh, I see. They're all brothers and sisters. Yeah. I guess just brothers in this case. Oh, semantics.
Please continue. Stop lingering on my failure here. Just move on, please. Why do you torment me like this?
Portal is also now required reading at Wabash College. It is actually on the core curriculum that every student must go through.
What if they're not good at video games, though?
Turn it on easy mode? I don't know.
I mean, what class is this?
No, it's like, you know, like some universities have like an introductory course that all freshmen have to take. That class.
Really?
Yeah.
Why exactly, though?
I guess
it's cool and everything, but I don't know if I really quite follow this.
Basically, they went on to explain, let's see, I have it here. The tension between backstage machination and onstage performance is precisely what Portal depicts so perfectly.
Okay. I just don't really see how this is going to benefit every single one of their students. But whatever.
Yeah.
I still feel like maybe these... Like, this is one of the few times we actually make people read things. There's required reading for, like, school. So, maybe we should actually make them read.
Well, they also read... Like, this class also doesn't read, like, Gilgamesh, Aristotle's Politics, John Donne poetry, Hamlet, Tao Te Ching.
I guess.
Now Portal.
But, like, look, if I say all those things, and I'm like, one of these things is not like the other, which are you going to pick?
Tao Te Ching?
Yeah, no. Not quite. All right. I mean, you know, whatever.
Yes.
We'll see how that sticks. I bet we never hear a follow-up on this story.
No, I mean, it'll just happen, that's all. Moving on. Amazon has stopped selling individual Xbox Live Arcade game codes on their site.
Like, you still get money from them?
No, like they used to like you used to be able to like go to Amazon and just like buy Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3 without having to buy Microsoft points or anything like
But
that.
you can't.
Right. I mean, I think a large part of this is ever since Microsoft moved to where the point pricing structure is now in like $5 intervals instead of $6.25 intervals. I think that kind of helps.
I'm watching my friend right now fighting the bomb, the giant bomb boss from the first level of Mario 64. He is losing. Oh no, he got him. There we go. There,
You
that's right.
hooked up
That's
the
how you do it.
64?
What?
Did you hook up the
No,
64?
Virtual Console.
Okay. I was gonna
I'm sorry.
say.
He was getting his ass kicked for a while there, though.
You can do it, Andy.
All right, keep, let's keep going.
Rock Band stuff. Because
Ah,
it's that time
God,
of year again,
no.
Mike.
Oh, Jesus Christ, shoot me. I'm sick of it.
The 83 track list has been officially made official for like a printed list in a press
Andy,
release.
don't bother throwing him over the cliff. It
Oh,
doesn't,
shut
he
up!
just jumped back up. I just was trying to save him trouble. We all did that one.
Yes,
We all
yes.
thought it would work. Like, well, he's trying to do it to us, but why not? What do you want me to do, AJ? What's my comment? Wow, 83 songs in Rock Band. Sure is a lot of songs.
It segues into the next bit of Rock Band news I have.
Oh,
There's
thank God.
three of them.
Oh my gosh, you better not have even bothered reporting on the DS version, or I'll just shoot.
I didn't actually.
Okay. Pray tell what these other two Rock Band related stories are.
First of all, they have announced that just about all the DLC and Disc Space songs out there already have support for the Pro Drum Mode. They kind of figured they'd be doing that and baked it in, and it wasn't really an additional work. So, yay. And then they're launching the 2.0 version of Rock Band Network, which will give indie creators access to all the Rock Band 3 features except for Pro Guitar, which kind of sucks. But they'll be able to use Pro Drums, keyboard and Pro Keyboard, and three-part harmonies.
Rock Band Network is barely a real thing for me. I've never seen it in practice, so
I've
therefore it doesn't
gotten
exist.
some Jonathan Colton songs. I got a Paul and Storm song off it. No, the Paul and Storm song wasn't on RBN. It was just a regular download, huh? But they just released this week the song from I Made a Game with Zombies in it, which is
Right.
actually really sweet because that's a cool song. I might download that after we're done, actually. Moving on. BioWare announces a duo of DLC coming out September 7th. Well, that was good alliteration. I didn't mean to do that.
Well done, AJ.
Thank you. The first one is for Mass Effect 2. It is the DLC pack they talked about before, where you get to join up with Liara to Sony, who's a party member from Mass Effect 1, who's kind of like a cameo character in 2. She goes
Right.
after the Shadow Broker. So she rejoins your party. If you were doing the romance with her in Mass Effect 1, you can continue it, I believe. It sounds pretty substantial, and as such, it is a $10 piece of
So,
content.
does she just join your party to do this one mission, or can she stay with you to the end of?
No, I think she becomes like a permanent party member. I'm not positive, actually. Now
See,
as you say it, yeah, because like, what if you did this mid-game and took her to the end? That'd be kind of cool. Ooh.
Right. I don't. But,
Guess
like,
who's
I beat
playing
the
Mass Effect
game.
2 again?
No.
I am. I'm in
These
the middle
things
of
are
a playthrough
bullshit.
now.
That's bullshit. I already. My. I'm done with. I won Mass Effect 2 already.
Well, I mean, you can take it from the perspective of this is something you've done after.
Well, yeah, but now if I want, like, whatever in Mass Effect 3, if I want her to be my party or something, or if I want her to, like me still, I have to go play this, beat Mass Effect 2 again, so now that I. You know what I mean.
You don't have to beat it again.
Sure, I do. How else is it gonna know that these things happen?
No,
I guess. I guess, I guess, I guess.
Mass Effect 2 doesn't end definitively. It leaves you,
That's
which is
right.
open to finish missions and stuff.
See, it's just the way, I guess, just the way I am. When I beat a game, I'm done with it. You know, the end.
The times, they are changing, Mike Zors.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Let's see. The other DLC is for Dragon Age Origins. This one stars Morrigan,
Does
the.
it star her or do you hunt her?
Well, it features her, I guess would be the best way to put it. It's called The Witch Hunt. This is $7. Will come out on the 7th. To keep it vague, so as not to ruin the possible ending, I guess, of Dragon Age. Some shit goes down with Morrigan towards the end of the game, and you have to go find her. This is basically the swan song for Dragon Age DLC. They'll probably be done after this. So this is actually a really cool epilogue, because I kind of assumed this would be the plot of Dragon Age 2.
Yeah, until... so did I back when I like thought Dragon Age 2 would be remotely connected to Dragon Age 1.
So I'm glad
I'm
glad they're
or
doing this though, because I did want to see how this would in theory play out, so I'm actually looking really forward to it. So yeah.
There won't really be much like consequences being carried over from Dragon Age 1 to Dragon Age 2. It's going to be
I mean it seems like the King of Ferelden would be a major choice, I guess.
But does it take place in Ferelden? I thought
it
took place in
No, Dragon Age 2 starts at the end of like during the last battle of Dragon Age 1.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, I don't understand how I could play this content where that takes place after the story. Because for me, my character is dead.
Well, then what it does is you just kind of pick up with a new Great Ward, and then you guys just pick up the trail.
But see, whatever. This lame out.
Sorry. I'm not dead, so I'm excited.
See? What's next?
There have been some listings that have come out. It looks like they're going to do like a kind of Dragon Age Ultimate Edition that includes all the DLC coming out later this fall.
Shocker.
Yeah.
Maybe I should have just waited for that.
There you go, see?
No, I don't really mean that.
Okay.
That just condones what you're doing.
Moving on. Alien Swarm has been updated and now features the AI director from Left 4 Dead.
Ooh.
You never played Alien Swarm. You should. It's awesome.
No, I also don't. I'm also like that person who isn't in love with Left 4 Dead, though.
That's true.
Whatever.
Let's see. Final Fantasy 14. First of all, it's getting an open beta very soon.
Your computer is acting up.
Yeah. I didn't say computer. Oh, shoot. Okay, good. It didn't hear me that time.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah. Final Fantasy
14. For those wondering, AJ has a voice-activated light switch. Based themed on Star Trek.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It is. I'm not trying to say it to make fun of you. I enjoy it.
I know. It's just that sometimes it thinks I say computer when I really didn't, which is how you initiate it. Anyway, this is going
computer! Well. Can you hear me?
No, I'm on headphones.
Oh.
No.
Computer!
Shout louder, Mike. Shout louder.
All right, what are you saying?
Final Fantasy 14 is getting open beta. Shocker.
Okay.
The more interesting thing... I remember reading about this before, but I kind of forgot about it. Do you know about the, I guess I'd call it a feature, in Final Fantasy XIV? After 8 hours of play with a particular class per week, you then get diminished experience until after an additional 7 hours, you get no XP until the start of the next week.
Didn't World of Warcraft have something like
no.
was going to have something like this?
World of Warcraft's in the affirmative. Warcraft is if you don't
no,
play...
No, I know, but wasn't it at one point? Because there was a Penny Arcade comic about... a system like this, people were complaining about it because like Blizzard was thinking about doing it for World of Warcraft, then it didn't happen.
I don't remember that, honestly.
Okay.
I'll take you at your word. But I guess like their explanation, they have twofold explanation for this.
I buy the one, by the way.
The one is the game lets you switch classes on the fly whenever you want, and so it's basically like having alts but within the same character.
Right.
So their one thing is we'll just play another class. But some
that
people
makes
are
sense
like
to me.
Yeah, I guess it does, but then, you know, people are like, well, I don't want to. I want to play this one.
That also makes sense, I guess.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, 8 hours a week, that's an hour and, like, 10 minutes a day. God knows, if I sit down to play an MMO, I'm playing for more than an hour a day, you know?
Andy, you have to talk to the red bomb at the beginning
of
the level.
Oh, for the love of Pete, stop it.
He'll open up the cannons for you. Yeah, that's how you get the last red point. All right, sorry.
Their other justification, which this is just stupid to me, is it's them saying, like, they don't want to give people who don't have as much time to play a disadvantage, nor do they want to give an advantage to the people who, like, have time to play.
Yeah, that's just dumb.
Because, like, by that token, it like, the game should be free so that people who don't have a job now but might be getting one and then they'll start buying the game, well, they're going to be at a disadvantage because they couldn't afford the game when it first came out. Like,
don't Japanese developers seem like they justify things with the most bizarre and random explanations sometimes?
Yes.
Like, that's just a very Japanese developer thing to say. It's like they justify it in a way that, like, I don't know if it just sounds dumb because of the translation or what.
Mm-hmm.
But it just doesn't make sense. Next.
Next, where'd I go? Okay, so Best Buy has started their in-store trade-in program for games.
Basically, the advantage is that you can get in-store credit, which is better than in-store credit at GameStop because there's more things to buy than video games. Disadvantage is that most of the games could be worth less there than
GameStop. Except for Alpha Protocol, which is worth $37.
Why?
I don't know.
I can't be selling for very much.
Now, here's the thing I haven't figured out. I did some digging around myself on their trade-in site. No one else has brought this up, but because they take trade-ins for a bunch of things, actually, not just video games. They've done that for some time, I guess. I was reading the fine print on in-store trade-ins, and this is just on the general site. So maybe this is out-of-date information, but it said if you want to do an in-store trade, you have to have the receipt.
I can't imagine that.
I know, it seems so bizarre, but like I read it and reread it. That's what it says. You need to have the receipt. And if you don't, then you have to do like their mail-in trading, which has actually been going on for a little while now.
I don't get it, but like, wouldn't you can't just... They're not only taking old Best Buy game.
That's what it said. Like, actually what it said.
Are you sure that's just not like a return policy?
No. This was on the whole trade-in thing.
I mean, I don't doubt that that's what that. I can't actually imagine that's how the thing's gonna work.
Yeah, I'm just thinking that like it's just like out of date info on the site because like the whole trade in policy didn't update with this. But here I have the actual quote here. It's short. It's just and the list of eligibility for in store trade in. It says you must have a valid Best Buy receipt, or if you don't have one, we'll make every effort to locate it for you. Only the original purchaser is eligible to participate in the in-store trade-in program.
All right. I don't know. Like I said, I didn't doubt that what you said is true. I just can't imagine.
Yeah.
Next.
Let's see. So we all know that Castlevania Lords of Shadow will be multi-disc on the 360. Now, this is what they're doing. Some people call it ingenious. I call it obvious. If you do a hard disk install of the game, like both disk onto your Xbox 360 hard drive, once you go to disk 2 for like that content and you just want to backtrack to the areas, you then won't need to swap the disk to backtrack. I don't know why that's such a revelation, but there you go.
It hasn't been done before, has it, though?
Yeah, I kind of like expect, like when Lost Odyssey came out, because that's 4-disc, I was kind of surprised that it didn't do that automatically, but I mean, it's good they're doing it. I'm not going to complain.
Whatever.
Yes. The final news story I have here, the upcoming Kinect dashboard update for the Xbox that's been revealed will also improve voice chat quality.
Yeah, saw that. Good.
Isn't that nice?
Yep.
Okay, I'm done.
Oh, good. Next, here's the quiz. Ready?
Yes.
All right, Great American Asgard Gaming Quiz. Got 5 questions and the bonus question. Question 1. The first Metroid was released in what year?
86.
Correct.
Yes!
What other Nintendo game was released on the same day as Metroid?
Legend of Zelda.
Kid Icarus.
Damn.
3. What Metroid game takes place second in the series chronology?
Metroid 2, The Return of Samus?
Metroid Prime.
Oh, shit, that's right.
I thought that was a gimme, AJ.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking.
Well, on the bright side, you'll probably get this next one. What is the full title of Metroid 2?
Metroid 2, The Return of Samus?
Correct. All right. Question 5. Metroid Prime 2 takes place on what planet?
Oh, it's like ZR388.
No, it's on Aether. Metroid 2.
Wait. Oh, Metroid Prime 2. God, I wasn't listening. Yeah, I would have known that one anyway.
But yeah, Metroid 2 is on the Metroid home world.
Was I right with the number?
No, I don't know.
I want to know.
Oh, all right. Bonus question. Super Metroid was released in what year?
94.
Correct.
Yeah, I got the dates right. Look at me go.
I know. You.
Wait, what did I say? What numbers did I say?
I don't remember. I don't know if you knew it.
What did I
the
say?
Point is that if you had gotten.
Did I say SR388? Because that's what it is.
I don't remember at all. If it is, good job.
Thank you.
The point is that you failed the quiz because you missed the one obvious one. So don't feel good about yourself because you failed. You lose. You get nothing.
Did I get a bonus question?
Did it? stupid computer go off again back there?
Yeah.
You gotta turn that thing off or something when we record.
I guess so.
And you got the bonus question, but it wasn't enough because you missed Aether.
Oh, right.
Even though you were so happy with your wrong answer.
I think that's more impressive.
Listen, let's continue our talk about Metroid.
Okay.
About talking about Metroid Other M.
You've just been, like, waiting for this all week, haven't you?
Yes. Because I really want to lay into Metroid Other M. Because I've had enough to hear, we look at this game, and it wasn't looking good, and we were hearing some troubling previews about it. So, I just want to tell everybody that it's actually awesome. It's actually very good.
All right.
Kind of surprised.
Good.
But weren't you, you were kind of with me on this. It wasn't, things weren't looking good for a bit there, were there?
No, it got some very kind of, not, I don't know if negative is the right word, but just kind of trepidatious previews back in like May. And then it got delayed 2 months.
It was either Kotaku or Joystick ran the story that said, what if the next Metroid isn't good?
Yeah.
And it was just like basically, he's had some preview thing and he had all these concerns. And I guess that's kind of a sense that I went in with this thing. But just the way it controls with the whole, like, you use the D-pad to kind of maneuver around the 3D space, and you really only use 4 buttons the whole game. And you can switch to that first-person perspective and stuff, it works surprisingly really well. Very intuitive. And what I love about it just has the way of like kind of shifting between 2D and 3D areas, kind of similar to how Mario Galaxy 2 did it.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's just kind of constantly going back and forth one, and it would never actually be 2D. Like, it'd still move up and down. But since it's clearly oriented in such a way, and you have the blaster fire has a very liberal sort of auto aim on it. What it basically does is, this is definitely Metroid the action game in a lot of ways. Like, a lot of things about Metroid aren't really there anymore. It's not so much about exploration. There's not as much backtracking. Like, you don't get a new ability and think, well, oh no, I have to go back all the way over here to progress in the game. You have to do that to get items sometimes, like the missile expansions and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But just a lot of things are kind of done to quicken up the pace. Like, for instance, there's kind of like a reloading thing you do to replenish your missiles. Like, you don't just run out of them. Health and missiles do not drop from enemies anymore. So you actually have your health so you can get to the next save point. Or if you get low enough, you can actually recharge that. But it takes a lot of time and it's very risky. But what I really, really love about this game is that it manages to have cinematic battles without sort of doing the God of War, you know,
QTEs.
QTE and the, yeah, exactly. And even, like, not just bosses, but just, like, the guys who fighting normal people. It has this very well-implemented dodge system, where if a projectile or if an enemy is charging at you, if you tap any of the directions, you'll dodge out of your way. And then if you also press the, shoot button, you'll automatically have a fully charged shot. So dodging enemies and then getting that charged shot immediately is sort of a very important aspect of a lot of the shooting. And then certain enemies, you can only use missiles when you go into first-person mode. And you can't move in first-person mode, which I kind of thought that would be a disaster waiting to happen. But it kind of gives you this sort of sense that, like, if you're using the missiles, you better make sure you're safe and that your enemy is really at a disadvantage. Like, you're not just can't just use them because they're more powerful when you have them, You have to wait for the right moment.
That was like a finishing move.
A lot of times, it's not kind of like a finishing move, but just kind of like wait to see when you're going to be safe. There's certain times of boss fights where it's just kind of evident that they may not be throwing an attack at you immediately, so this might be a good time for missiles. Once you get the freeze gun, too, there's times you can freeze enemies into place. Then it's like, okay, well, now we'll bring the missiles out, and we'll, do that thing.
Cool.
But one thing I really love is just, we hear a lot of complaining now that we don't really have very many good boss fights in games anymore. And I think a large part of that is just because our most popular games now are first-person shooters. And boss fights have never really been very conducive to the first-person shooter. I would have a hard time to name, like, the great first-person shooter boss fights, for instance. Because they usually just boil down to shooting somebody or finding their weakness or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
This one is very much like those old Metroid-style boss fights, where you're just fighting this giant enemy. It's very traditional in the sense that, there's kind of have to learn patterns and know what to do here and there, but they're just very well done, and they're very cinematic. And like I said, you know, it manages to be cinematic without doing any of the QTE shit. And there's just also this part where if any enemy, not just bosses, but normal enemies, if they're, like, hurt enough, they'll kind of be downed. If you run up to them, then you kind of initiate, like, the kill shot sort of thing, which always sort of looks cool. Besides that, though, for a Wii game, it looks very good. I hate to say for a Wii game, but, you know, honestly, yes, for a Wii game, it does look good. It's not going to compete with, you know, Halo Reach or anything like that. But it's definitely one of the best-looking Wii games I've seen that is in a, you know, Super Mario Galaxy, whatever. The story stuff, it works better than I thought it would.
That's good.
Some of the delivery is a little deadpan. Most of the narration is done by Samus. And, that's Bush League right there.
That is. Turn your phone off.
That's Bush League. Where was I? What was I talking about?
Cinematic Samus narrative.
This is the big EGP exclusive on Metroid. Excuse me, my phone's ringing. let me silence that. Yeah, my ringtone's the Star Trek theme. You want to start something about it? What was I saying again? Story. Like, Samus does a lot of the narration of the game. She has a very kind of deadpan, cold delivery. It kind of works. Sometimes it's very melodramatic and, you know, not entirely non-Japanese, I guess. You know what I mean? But but it works.
See, I guess that's the thing, because, like, Metroid was always one of those Japanese games that managed to not feel Japanese at all. Particularly with Prime being American developed. And so to have all of a sudden have these very Japanese style cutscenes with like the thumbs up, thumbs down thing, which is that even that one thing is just like, yep, this was made in Japan. And it's just kind of weird to have that thrust in there, I guess. It's
I guess
fine.
If you're going to let that bother you so much, right? Like, you know, not let that get you so much. Well, I mean, it's interesting. Metroid has never been very popular in Japan, as far as I know. I know that, like, Super Metroid is one of the greatest games ever, like, bombed in Japan.
Yeah.
So it's just not their kind of thing. I guess that was why they were smart of them to give the game to Retro in the first place. But at the same time, I think it was very smart of them to kind of decide to reboot the series again. Maybe it was soon, but, you know, Prime was already kind of beginning to feel a little
worn out. Well, you had your three games, and I think they did what they could with that.
I mean, even after Prime 1, like, Prime 2 and Prime 3, like, seemed to be built around gimmicks a little bit.
Well, Prime 2 was just, like, we're doing the Light World, Dark World thing now on Metroid, and Prime 3 was, it's on the Wii now. Look, you could reach out and open the door.
Right, exactly.
Prime 1, though, is freaking phenomenal, and you need to finish that.
I think that this stands up with Prime 1 and with Super Metroid.
Oh, I'm sure, I'm sure.
It's really great. I'm just saying. It's, you know, just every Metroid-y aspect of it, I don't know, in the story, besides some of the awkward kind of delivery of it, it's neat, and there's a lot of neat kind of callbacks to the old Metroid games. I mean, the opening cinematic is the flashback of the end of Super Metroid, which is just, you know, that's definitely a big sort of fan service.
Yeah.
Cool geek out moment there that I definitely appreciated. The presentation's very slick. There's kind of, it kind of cuts a lot of the bullshit out. Like, when you go into the save station, you just go into the little circle where you save, and it says, you know,
now saving.
Initializing data saving and shield restoration. It doesn't, like, say, do you want to save? What save file do you want to save on? Well, I want to save on my save file. Okay.
Okay, do you want to overwrite this save file? Yes.
Yes.
Are you sure?
I would like
yes.
to do that, please. I think I'll be okay when the save area where I'm getting full health and items. I think I'll manage from here. But, you know, like I said, I've been very impressed with it. I'll say in a year where I've played a lot of really good games already, like a lot of really good games, like games that I would consider among some of my all-time favorites, like the Red Dead Redemptions, the Mass Effect 2, Super Mario Galaxy 2.
It's been a good year.
This stands up there with them. Yeah, that's this good. Has been ridiculous, but this really does stand up there with them. God damn your computer. You're right over there.
I'm but muting no, this, my mic.
I don't know, it stands up. You saw me playing a little bit. Well, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought it looked good. I'm excited to play it. There was one thing that I thought was kind of dumb. And it's the way your powers are dished out to you.
Well, okay, so instead of the traditional, like, you go find your powers, what they do instead is that there's your commander here, and he will authorize the use of certain abilities throughout the game.
Now, I can understand, like, having to authorize missiles or power bombs because it's a weapon and there's other people here and we don't want to hurt anybody. But if you go into the giant cavern of lava, do you really need command authorization to use the Varia suit?
Like I said, it's a little...
Like, I watched you do that, and, like, you're running through there, you're taking damage. I'm like, God, when are you going to get the Varia suit? You're like, well, I have to be authorized. I was like, what? And then, like, after you did this whole kind of neat-looking platform segment where, like, you know, you're the traditional trope of outrunning the rising lava as you're working your way up, you get to the top of the thing, and as the boss is appearing, he comes on the comm. Samus, I'm authorizing use of the Varia suit. Turn it on quickly so you don't take damage from heat. Like, why couldn't you do that the moment she walked into the room?
I mean, it is kind of... doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. But, I mean, the alternative may have been to just once again do the whole find the upgrades. They're hidden around this ship for some reason. So, I mean, like, it's not a perfect solution. But, whatever. It's slightly different, I guess.
See, like...
And I will say the environments are very, it's very typical. Here's the ice, you know, snowy environment.
Yeah.
Here's the lava environment.
Well, didn't she even say at one point, like, this station had become, like, a haunting shadow of Zebes? And I was like, oh.
Yeah, what a...
Also, I always thought it was pronounced Zebes. Apparently it's Zebes.
I always thought it was, Samus Aran, but it's Aran, so...
Oh, I knew that.
I guess Aran sounds too much like the country.
Yeah.
But... My point, I'm very impressed with the game. I would give it a hearty recommendation, actually. I think I'm getting close to the end. I feel like it might be a little on the short side, I guess.
Uh-oh.
So I'll throw that out there. But Metroid games have traditionally not been entirely very long, have they?
No, they're really not. The thing that made them long was the backtracking and the exploration.
Right. So, I mean, if you take out all those hours you were wandering around Super Metroid Lost, basically...
Mm-hmm.
Because, like I said, this is very much more streamlined. This is a more action-friendly Metroid game. But it works. Works very well. Hopefully my review will be up so you guys can read more if you want. Alright, is there anything else you wanted to talk about?
I played a game with stylish combat.
What was it?
Shank.
Oh, how'd that go?
Oh, it's awesome.
How so?
So, I mean, you've probably already seen screens and videos, but, like, this game is, like... Take one part, like Once Upon a Time in Mexico, and maybe even a little bit of Kill Bill. One part Zorro, and one part Penny Arcade, and you get Shank, and it's sweet. It just has, like, you know, like, the animation of this game is so fluid, and everything flows together, because, like... It's not like the kind of action game like a Bayonetta or God of War where you have like predefined combos. I mean, there are some, like, you know, nothing too fancy. It's really just about stringing the moves you have together to create your own combos, and it always ends up looking sweet as hell. The basic way combat works in the game is you have like the light melee attack, which is your shanks, the strong melee, which is whatever heavy weapon you have equipped. So far, you start with the chainsaw, and I also got machetes. Then the B button is your guns. You have dual pistols, and I have a shotgun. So you have those to string together. Then you get a grapple button, a pounce button, which has you just leap into the air and randomly lock on to, like, the nearest enemy, and it kind of slows down when you do it. It's really fun, actually. You get dodging, and you get grenades.
How many buttons do you think you use in this game?
All 8.
See, that's what I find interesting. I hate to bring this back to Metroid, but... The kind of interesting thing about that, I think I said before, is that you really do only use 4 buttons.
Yeah.
And it works very well. Sorry, just wanted to throw that up.
No, that's fine.
Talk about Shank, though.
Yes. But yeah, like, the character designs are awesome. They're really expressive. Like, you'll see guys, like, almost look surprised when you get the jump on them and as you're beating the shit out of them. And, it, you know, it's just, it's good. It's a very pretty game. It looks very stylish as you're playing it. And... See, I couldn't figure this. I was playing it, and I was like, why do I like this, but I don't like Bayonetta? Because it's kind of the same thing, except it's not.
I don't know why you don't like Bayonetta, because Bayonetta was pretty cool.
Yeah, I just don't like it. But, like, I also don't like Devil May Cry, and, like, I don't know what it is. But yeah, it's very good. But there's multiplayer, too. I haven't even touched that yet. So I'll probably do that.
Anything else you played?
The squad had a Monday Night Combat night last night. When we talked about Monday Night Combat last week, we just played the trial at that point, right?
Well, I think so. I mean, there's not too much more to say about it.
Yeah, it's just flipping sweet.
They explained it pretty thoroughly. We understood the concept pretty well.
Yeah, that game is awesome. Yeah, we had, like, in and out throughout the night. There were about 10 of us and all who played throughout the course of the evening, and it was fun as hell. That game's great. I'm back in the World of Warcraft real bad right now.
Are you going to buy your month so I get my month?
Yeah, I'm going to get my month.
Good, because I got a warning that I'm up in 4 days.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Well, my trial may not be done by then.
Just buy it. What difference does it make?
Well, no, I don't think it'll let me buy it until the trial's up.
Sure, you could buy whatever.
I mean, I'll do what I can.
I'll be in a limbo for a couple days.
But I did get my my mount. I'm level 22 now.
I can't believe you get your mount at level 20, by the way.
Well, the thing that sucked is by the time I got there, I didn't have enough gold. I had to beg my friends to loan me some gold.
Well, how much gold is it?
After it's all said and done, about 5 gold. But level 20, you don't have that much. Yeah, Mr. Level 80, you probably get like 5 gold for sneezing.
Oh my god. I'm sure you could have gone to like Iron Forge and begged around for 5 gold.
I just got off my friends and made them give it to me.
I hope you didn't have to beg very hard.
Actually, they're being little assholes about it, because they're like, they're in like their mid to high 20s. So they have like 7, 8 gold. I'm like, just give me a gold and 50 silver. That's all I need. Like, well, you give it to him, Bill. No, you do it, Dave. I'm like, fucking asshole, someone give me some money so I can buy my damn horse.
Oh, geez. I mean, they used to cost a lot of gold.
Yeah, I know.
I mean,
like
even
40.
For, like, I mean, yeah. They don't, how fast do those go?
50 or 60%.
Okay, I mean.
Yeah.
Not bad, I guess.
I've never played a rogue before. I really like the rogue. Their combat style is very active.
Yeah, very. A lot to it. Yeah. Even at early levels, there's keep pushing a lot of buttons.
Mm-hmm. So that's satisfying.
Right.
But it's just fun. I've never been in the situation where I'm playing WoW with, like, friends physically in the room. Like, we all went over to my buddy's house. We all, like, got on his wireless, ordered some pizza, and we were, like, in his living room with, like, everyone with their laptops playing WoW. That was actually really fun.
Play anything else?
Did I? I don't think so. Did you?
I've been playing KOTOR. I was playing that until I got Metroid.
Right.
Getting pretty far in that. I've been enjoying it a lot. I'm in this one section now. Like, I'm in the main dungeon, basically, of the water planet.
Uh-huh.
And there's parts where you go, like, outside into the water, and you have to wear this, like, suit.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, you walk, like, a third as fast as you normally do. I'm like, why would they choose to do this?
Mm-hmm.
It's just annoying as
I'm sure it seemed like a good idea at the time.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, it's realistic. Cool.
Wait, there's probably like the one guy in the company's like, guys, like we're gonna go underwater this week, and then like there's like the one nerd in the back who's like the guy who's shouting at all the meetings, you know, there's no sound in space, who's probably like, well, fuck it, I'm gonna put them in big diving suits and they're gonna go real slow because they're underwater.
Yeah, exactly. But whatever. I've been enjoying it immensely, and I will probably be going back to that very soon.
Have you beat Metroid yet?
By the time people are listening to this, yes.
Okay, then.
Like I said, I know I'm very close to the end. My plan is tonight is to beat it, write my review so I can post that tomorrow.
Cool.
Or today, for those listening.
Yes.
Anything else? Can we get to the role plays?
We can do the role plays. This feels all out of order. Well, because it is out of order.
Metroid was we had to talk about Metroid.
I understand.
Do you have any more? Do you have anything else you want to know about Metroid? In fact, very excited to talk about Metroid.
I guess I'm good.
All right then.
Okay, role
you
play.
Did you not think it might suck though?
Oh, I was worried. I was worried. I'll admit it.
I was worried too.
I was willing to give it its fair shake. I wasn't like maybe like oh fuck this game, but.
All right, give me my role.
Okay, I have 4 characters for you to play.
All right, hopefully I can do this.
Yeah, hopefully you've been reading the news. After your knowledge of the news in the first segment here, I'm kind of worried I'm going to have to explain everything to you here. We'll try it. Okay, first I'm going to make you Ray McGuire. You are the Sony Computer Entertainment Senior Vice President. Earlier this week, in an interview with Eurogamer, you had the following to say. Am I expecting a massive day one? This is regarding the PlayStation Move. Not particularly. We didn't with iToy either. It went on to be massively successful. McGuire later adds, exactly as with iToy in the PS2 days, it's a product that needs to be sampled. You need to get your hands on it. You need to understand it. You need to try it. So, do you really think that's the best comparison to compare the Move to the iToy?
Well, sure, why not? It's a very similar kind of product. It's an add-on sorts, you know. And just like the iToy, it's an innovative new technology. People need to be able to see their friends play it. See the kiosks in stores to really understand it.
But aren't people kind of ready for this sort of motion control because it's just kind of the Wii?
Look, this is better than the Wii did. Okay, cause we have HD graphics too. This is on a whole different level. Plus, with the incorporation with the iToy, far more advanced technology. This isn't just a Wii knockoff.
Yeah, but I mean, the iToy, you guys say it was massively successful. I think there were like 20 games for the iToy worldwide, and calling them games is being kind at best.
Well, you're just being insulting now. I don't know how you expect me to respond to that. Look, the iToy, whether you liked it or not, it was successful. We made some money off of it. It was a good place to lay foundation. And now with the Move, we're going to even be able to penetrate the casual market further.
Yeah, but, I mean, tell me if this is false. I mean, the iToy is just kind of released as like a neat little fun thing. It was an accessory. And, you know, did its thing.
Oh, the Move is more ambitious, make no mistake.
Yeah, it just seems like you guys have more riding on the Move to compare it to the iToy's success in the PS2.
Riding on the Move. If the Move, you know, not that it would, if it ever failed, we'd be just fine. Our future is not at stake here with the Move. I think the Move will be successful, and it will be a big hit, and it will help sell a lot of PlayStation 3s. But, you know, I can see it now that the first month, the Move isn't going to sell that well or something. You guys are going to all freak out and call it a disaster, just like you thought that we should have just gave up on the PlayStation 3 after its first year, and now that's doing fine, thank you very much. You know, I'll listen to our marketing guys and our R&D guys. You guys can keep saying whatever you want to do out there in game journalism world. We're fine, thank you.
Okay.
Put you in your place, didn't I?
Yeah, I guess so. Just gotta take my ball and go home.
That's right. Next roll.
Okay, you are now Hothead Games. Just all of them. You guys just announced that the sequel to Deathspank called Deathspank Throngs of Virtue is coming out next month. Too soon?
Absolutely not. We develop these games next to each other. And we always kind of planned, you know, just because we didn't tell everybody, we knew that we would have a sequel come out relatively close. I don't understand what your situation here is, did people not get their value for $15 with the first Deathspank? Did they feel like we were withholding content from them? I mean, $15 game, you got what you want, God, this will be another $15 game, will be even longer than the first Deathspank. The alternative, I guess, would have been to combine these two games and sell them to you as a $60 product. If you would have liked that, you know, would you have preferred that?
No, I'm just saying, I think you could have taken some more time, maybe try to make the sequel more ambitious, because right now it's kind of looking just like more of the same.
We like Deathspank. Our fans like Deathspank. I don't know what you mean by ambitious. You want us to tack on new features, sure, but the game is done when it's going to be done, and I can't help it if that happens to be, you know, 6 months after the first one came out.
It's been 2 months.
Look, we developed these games together. There was going to be a short turnaround. Why wait a year to give people time to forget about Deathspank? Deathspank's in their minds right now. They liked it. Here's the sequel. Go ahead. Have fun. If we called this Deathspank Episode 2, this wouldn't be a problem.
Right. But, I mean, do you think it's wise to release, like, a downloadable semi-sequel, like, right at the same time?
What's semi about it?
I'm just kidding. But, like, I mean, it was one thing when Deathspank came out in July and there wasn't much going on at retail, but this is going to be right at the start of the big fall deluge. I mean, Halo Reach is coming out, like, the same time.
Well, yeah, but we won't be competing with Halo Reach. We'll be competing with Xbox Live titles, of which there won't be that many around the time. And look, we have our fans. You know, they know what Deathspank is at this point. If they like Deathspank, they're going to get Deathspank 2 no matter what else is coming out. You know, just because they're eating some apple pie doesn't mean they can't go for a slice of the poison berry as well.
It's poison berry, not poison berry. I don't think my people
eat poison analogy.
Okay. There, you passed. Next, you are Stardock CDO Brad Wardle. Brad had some very mean things to say to people in regards to their new game, and I forgot the name of the game. Elemental. Jeez. Particularly in response to a PC Gamer article that basically called the game an unplayable pre-beta release, and some people in the Quarter to Three forums were also kind of putting or echoing those sentiments, and you said some not terribly mean things, but maybe things you shouldn't have said. Do you want do you want to know what you said?
I know what I said.
Okay.
And listen. Okay, I've been making this game for a decent chunk of my life now. It's been ambitious. I know what bugs are there. I'm working every day to get rid of the bugs. There's always bugs. And now I have magazines telling their subscribers not to buy my game because our beta was buggy. Look, I'm sorry if we're running a legitimate beta here, not some glorified demo. Okay, we have the beta to iron out these bugs. We're working on it. And, you know, I'm hearing about bugs I didn't even know about the day before. It's complicated. It's an intense process. And did I get a little upset? Maybe I shouldn't have gone on quarter three and posted about it and kind of exposed my anger. Maybe that was immature. I regret that. But, you know, the fact of the matter is I was upset. I said those things. You know, that's how it is.
Okay. Finally, you're our good friend, Sony Computer Entertainment CEO Kaz Hirai. You don't seem to think that the PS4 can be an all-digital download platform, saying, "We do business in parts of the world where network infrastructure isn't as robust as one would hope. There's always going to be a requirement for a business of our size and scope to have a physical medium." Okay, I'll grant you that. But then you go on. "To think everything will be downloaded in 2 years, 3 years, even 10 years from now is taking it a little bit to the extreme. Is it really? Is it so hard to think that in 10 years we'll have the infrastructure to download everything?"
Well, hey, you know, 10 years ago people thought that we'd be flying cars around everywhere and whatever or not. Look, the future is never quite as spectacular as you guys think it's.
Yeah, but also, I mean, 3 years ago the iPhone was brand new. Look how much that whole landscape has changed in just 3 years.
Look, we tried this digital distribution thing. We went balls to the wall with it, with the PSP Go.
No,
it failed miserably.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, no, yeah, right, we didn't. It had no drive.
You could only play
downloadable games.
You released a more expensive platform that didn't have release date price parity and date parity, nor did it have the existing backlog of
your
already existing
system. If somebody actually bought it, there's no interest for the thing. We went there, we did it, there's no interest for it.
Hey, look, if you build it, they will come, man.
Who tried harder? Who tried harder than us?
Apple.
Did Nintendo try harder than us?
Apple.
How many of their games can you buy? Apple.
Yeah.
Apple. What's Apple's alternative? Their whole thing is based off of internet
connectivity. Well, exactly, because there is no alternative. Don't you think that if the PS4 was a digital-only device,
we should not create the alternative? We should limit our games to only smartphone-using techie.
No, but, I mean, I'm pretty sure
that's
that...
No, that's what you think. These are the only people who play games. People who go into the Apple store and wear a lot of plaid t-shirts.
How far off?
These are the ones who are allowed to play portable games now.
How far off do you think the PS4 is?
No. That's okay.
I can't wait to see
Grandma trying to buy her son a new game for Christmas, going to the store saying, "Oh no, you download those now." What?
How far off do you think the PS4 is? How many years?
I'm not telling you that.
Just guess.
I work for Sony. Well, look, okay, the PlayStation 3 came out in 2000. We said 10-year cycle. So, 2016.
So you honestly don't think by 2016, broadband penetration
in this country, nay the world. Look, we're going to be riding that trend when we get there. If things do go there, which I still doubt, that's all I said is that I doubt it, then Sony will be on board, of course. We've always been a leader in this industry. But I'm just saying, I don't personally see it. I'm not saying that. That's not a manifesto that Sony, no matter what, will begrudgingly decline to be a part of digital distribution. So, you know, you're making a mountain out of a molehill here. Calm down.
Okay.
Ridge Racer! Ridge Racer!
Thank you.
The PlayStation 4 will retail for $6,000. All right. I like how I thought your giggle was you saying the word computer.
Yeah.
All right. Any more rolls, or is that it?
That's it. Does Mike Minotti have anything to say about these issues?
No, I think I might have agreed, actually, with my personas a lot of the time on this one.
Oh, okay. That's fair.
So. you know, I know you get all worked up about digital distribution, but you know I don't think it's quite as.
Oh, by the way, I found that Penny Arcade comic you were talking about. It was the resting thing that the comic was about. There was no thing about.
Oh, so they were just complaining that people who weren't playing were getting an advantage.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. No one cares now.
Hmm.
All right, you ready for the releases?
Sure.
Mafia 2 came out for PC, PS3, 360. Reviews for this have kind of been all over the place. Well, not all over the place, but all over that 7 to 9 spectrum. Right. You know what I mean? But GameSpot gave an 8.5 here. So it looks Shank on PS3 and 360 Arcade. Elemental War of Magic, that game I so vigorously defended earlier, came out on PC. Got Pilgrim vs. the World is on 360 now. Harvest Moon, Grand Bazaar is on DS. Ship Simulators Extremes. Oh, Ship Simulator Extremes. Excuse me, I got my plurals mixed up for PC. NHL 2K11. Ivy the Kiwi, question mark, for DS and Wii. Isn't that the guy who made song?
Yeah, it's Yuji Naka's new game.
Thing. Grease the Game for DS and Wii.
Oh, God.
And, yeah, it just goes downhill from there. So that's it.
Oh, and Get It Move came out on WiiWare. That's actually a good game.
Okay. Right, right. It's not old, though, by now. I mean, I know it just came out on WiiWare, but...
Yeah.
It's been out for a while. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening to our podcast. You can find more of us at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com. Or you can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/explodingbarrel. You can also find us on the iTunes and Zune Music Store /marketplaces, whatever they call them.
Oh, and yeah. And we have a listener on the Zune Marketplace. Did you know this?
No.
Yes. No. A listener, 77 Shamrock 77, wants you to know.
Oh my gosh!
There is at least one confirmed EVP listener who uses a Zune.
I was actually going to call. I was actually going to do a shout out to this same guy because he caught our Shockmaster reference last week.
Okay, this guy is now awesome.
Yeah, like one. He's definitely like my favorite listener now. Thank you, 77 Shamrock 77, which I'm hoping is a reference to Ken Shamrock now. Alright, thanks for listening, everybody. See you next time on the Exploding Barrel Podcast. Goodbye.
Good to you.